So, okay, well, I'll go on with the sermon today. Last time I was here, I talked about the importance and the need for God's intervention in our lives when it comes to healing. I'd like to go on with that actually a little bit in another vein, addressing a couple concepts there first before I get there. We know, again, when one of the most wonderful things that took place in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 3 was the healing of that lame person that everyone knew that he was lame from his birth. And it was quite a witness to see Peter looking upon this person and witnessing as he said that his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. And we know that today we can go to God for healing as well in our lives. It's there. It will always be there. Our faith just needs to keep getting stronger and not weaker. So I like to acknowledge this usually at least once a year as a reminder. We have sicknesses that surround us. All of us get sick. I'd like to figure out a way where none of us got sick. That would be great. I think this is a challenge for all of us. I'd like to talk about this a little bit more today. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 15 first. God worked with Israel, and of course they were in a place that he brought them out of. That was probably not a very clean place. There was a lot of idolatry that was taking place at the time. There were a lot of other gods that were there that were being proclaimed. And no doubt a lot of sicknesses because he spoke about that here. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, it says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So it was called Marah because that's what it means. And the people murmured against Moses. It kind of brings you up to date with what we're going through now, doesn't it? It's so interesting to relate this to what we all go through now. In fact, some of us maybe interject or get some doubts interjected in our minds when we see the things that are taking place around us. As I said, I don't know why God takes people early, but I don't doubt God. I don't believe you do either. It's nothing wrong with wondering. That's fine, too. But to take someone in their youth at a young age, it's hard to understand that. And yet, as we've dedicated ourselves to God, we know he's got his purpose, whatever that might be. Our life is so temporal on this earth that we live on anyway. And there are times when God chooses not to heal. And other times when he chooses to heal, but he is our healer. We can at least understand that. Israel obviously had trouble with that, yet they were confronted with all kinds of miracles in their life. We've seen plenty in my life. You know, I've seen plenty in my life, enough to know that God is a God of miracles in the very smallest of ways and in the very largest of ways as well. So we go through this as a group of people called church, sharing our stories many times. I enjoy sharing mine because I don't want to forget them. It's too easy to go on with life and we forget some of the things that take place and we're confronted by bad things. It tends to cause us to start to doubt again. Well, we're filled again now with a nation that complains. That's all they want to do is complain. That's all they want to do is finger point. And so this can affect us as well. I'll talk about this next time. So I don't want to get into the murmuring. I don't think we're a murmuring church here. I think we appreciate very much what God has blessed us with. But we still fall into troubles at times. In verse 25, it says, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. It's called a judgment. And there he proved them. So this was something that was new here that was given to the Israelites. Simply put here, he says, if you will diligently hearken or listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandments. And give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So overall, he looked at his nation and said, if you keep what's right. In fact, when he brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, he made another statute too. He says, if you will obey my voice, I will give you water and rain in due season. So he promised them physical blessings. So we ask for those. Even as a church, we ask for the more important spiritual things that need to be changed in our life, but we also ask for physical things, whether it's health, whether it's job, whether it's finances. And so many times, again, as I look back, I know that God has always been there and our life has always provided. I know as we continue to go on and try to better ourselves, to try to strive to in a closer relationship with God, that will continue as well because those are the promises. So from the very beginning, healing has been a matter of obedience and faith. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, my daughter, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. One thing that's a positive thing about a phone and Google and all that is sometimes you can just type in a certain topic, type in health, type in something like that. You can find some interesting stories. There was a testimony from a man. His name was Derek Prince. He got very sick. There's been a couple like that I've read of. One has come out. I wish I could remember his book. He did a whole change in his entire life and from the way he was eating and living and thinking as well. But he tried all kinds of medical procedures. As you remember, the woman that flowed with an issue of blood for 12 years, and she was finally healed because she touched Christ's garment. I sure would have liked to have been there to see some of those things that were being done, the fantastic miracles, but that they're still happening, just not in those ways necessarily that were done as you touch a garment. We do send anointed cloths out, so in a way you could say that's done. We follow that example to this day, and we see that God still does heal. But when it says no medical procedures can help, this man, his name was Derek Prince, it says he turned to God. He said, I saw very clearly that there were four specific directions for taking God's word as medicine for the physical body. He says, these are the directions. Here they are. One, he says, attend to my words. In other words, read the instructions. So interesting this past week because I've become, I can't remember when I started, but I started becoming more of a label reader. I've shared some of those things. I mean, I've looked sometimes at shampoo bottles and I looked at all the ingredients. I'm kind of going, sodium lauryl and the methacillosium. I can't even pronounce the names. I'm going, what is this? But hey, it smells good, looks good, lathers up. People go, it cleans your hair. Not, you know, totally understanding that the skin is the largest organ in my body. It shocked me when I eventually found out about that because I used to clean my car parts in a bucket full of gas and I didn't use rubber gloves. And Wow, I've got a scripture to go along with that in a minute, but let's finish this one first. In other words, read the instructions. So this past couple of weeks, I went through one of the boxes of rice and looked on it, and it had some kind of ingredient in there that I know is not good for you. So I took it out of them. I'm not eating that. That's one way I started changing, at least in my life. It's very difficult, especially when you go out and you don't know what you're eating. I know we can do the best that we can do. And that's all I think God is asking, is to try to do the best that we can do. But he says, incline your ears to my sayings. In other words, listen closely to what he's saying. He said, let them not depart from your eyes. So the problem with Israel is they constantly backslide, as sometimes we do as well. You know, we might start a little bit of a health kick. And then all of a sudden we start grabbing maybe back to some things possibly that we should not be eating in our life just because we're already not doing well. And you put that in your mouth and your system, if it could talk, is please don't send me that anymore. It's not working. It doesn't work. And he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. So he said, I began to read the Bible three times every day after meals because that is how people normally take medicine. I said, God, you've taken these words of yours will be medicine to my flesh, and I'm taking them as medicine now in the name of Jesus. Within a few months, God's medicine, taken that way, achieved the result that God promised. I was totally healthy in every area of my body. So not did he only change his physical concepts, But obviously, as you read this, and God is his judge, but he acknowledged God as his healer. He did do this, and he saw the benefit. And obviously, we know after reading so many of these stories, so much it's in the mind and the way that people think that can even change what's going on physically in their lives. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, I guess this is the part here of what you would hear and if you've heard healing messages before, this is more one today on trying to take better care of ourselves. So I'm asking today if we'd, in fact, I did bring this today so you could kind of get the topic or title of my sermon today. It's pretty nice, interesting. In fact, so many of God's creations are fascinating when you look at plants. I don't know what kind of plant this is. I'm not a green thumb. But anyway, you can see it. It's a pretty nice size. So if this is a new leaf, then you'll know the title of my sermon, okay? Right? Turning over a new leaf. You know, it takes at least a moment to start something. It's very difficult. I know finally, after quite a long time, because I remember being back in Atlanta, when the stress starts adding up, even when you're close to God, the stress can start to take its toll on you. These things, that's part of the reason I don't like them. It's like I'd rather be back in the apostolic age where you rode camels and horses and didn't speed everywhere, and everything's going fast all the time, and texting, and so much is going on that just it makes people too busy. And so I went and got my checkup in Atlanta, and of course they said, well, your cholesterol is out of the roof. Now, I've studied into that too. There are varying degrees on people's cholesterol. We're all different. We're made differently. But I already knew that there was a problem because I wasn't feeling good. So when he said that, I go, ah. And of course, right away, they would like to start you on statins or something. I said, I don't want to do, I'd rather try something. So I went and joined a hockey team. And so for quite a long time, I was playing at least probably once a week. I was at least getting out there and getting some good physical exercise and frankly feeling better. But then I came to Knoxville and I stopped doing that. And so my exercise started going down. You try to kind of keep it up in other ways. So we've tried to get going, but my wife finally got me to the point where I joined Health Club. So there I am trying to get regular exercise. But I know, again, how difficult it is. It's very difficult. But I'm saying we've got to do something. We can't just sit around. If I'm sitting and driving and sitting and driving, I'm going to expect my body, and that's what happened. I got another health check some time ago, and the nurse called me and says, the doc wants to see you. I'm going, I understand. I know exactly what's wrong already. She goes, what? I'm going, my cholesterol is too high, right? Yes. I go, all right. So I went and see him. He looks at me, and he smiles because on my health sheet, you know, it's nice to be able to check, you know, did you have that? No, 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 no. Do you take this? No, 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 no. You know, so he's looking at that going, so what do you want to do? You know, oh, I'd love to take statins. They're so good for you, aren't they? Now, I know they lower your cholesterol, but I know that's the part of man's solutions that aren't good is where they can help in certain areas. They also hurt in other areas. I'd rather try something different. I'd rather try to get my exercise back again. So this is a challenge. Now, maybe some of you thought about that, maybe aren't at that point. Again, I understand how challenging it is, but we can't stop trying to not only take something in that's better for us, but to try to take care of the body that God gave to us. There's so many important things about this. I think sometimes, if you all remember the scripture, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, remember that one, Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed, why? For lack of knowledge. There's knowledge at our fingertips here. The hard part about it is to sort through it. There's a lot of good things that are out there. A lot of good things. Some people may have come to you. And, of course, when somebody gets sick, I'm sure there's all kinds of solutions that people have given to those that have become sick. Have you tried that? Have you done that? I've heard all kinds of things. There's all kinds of new things that keep coming out. Some years ago, the answer to about everything was in a plant that was found in Australia. Do you remember what that was called? Melaleuca. Okay, that was going to be the solution. I'm not saying that anything's bad with that. There are probably some good things, but why is it some tree or plant in some distant land that's going to save us from everything? So now the next kick is oils. A lot of people are doing oils. I'm not going to down that either. I think there's a lost art to what God has provided in herbs and other things that he's made for us. But I don't think that's going to necessarily be the solution to somebody that's keeps up the same pattern, that all of a sudden just put a couple drops of oil and keep going on your way. It may help, but again, I know it's going to, people are going to react differently to it because of the chemical makeup in your body. So it's always difficult. Now, by the way, as I looked and was flashing through the channels and saw an infomercial, and there's always this guy that's in a doctor's coat. I really doubt if he's a doctor. I just don't trust it. But now he's going to keep a woman's skin looking just like Cindy Crawford's. And she's, what, 50 or something now. And this gal, probably, again, they, of course, on TV, they're always going to put the makeup on you and all that, too. I really like to see how she looks in real life. But her skin is so soft simply from a melon that they find in France. Some guy found a melon. That's all you got to do. I don't know if you got to wrap it on your face or eat it or what. But you're going to live to be so many years old, and wow, there's again, the snake oil. It might actually have some kind of benefit, so I don't want to criticize it, but you see so many of this, it kind of tires you out sometimes on trying to look. Sometimes the simplest things are out there. The knowledge is out there for you to gather if you just want to take a look. And I know, again, we're into this day where about at least once a week I get some kind of conspiracy theory sent to me. I know that there's conspiracies out there, but I'm not sure what they are, who's behind them. I know they're there. So I just can't waste my time anymore. What can I do about a conspiracy? What can I do if the contrails are just chemicals that somehow our own government is spilling out to kill people? I've heard that one. I have no idea. I have no idea. What can I do about it anyway? You pray to God and do the best that you can do, knowing that nothing is escaping under God's eyes. He sees what's happening. I think he really wants us to look, to search. Just like we're doing spiritually, we've got to do physically as well. Do you know, back in 1971, there were 339,000 cancer deaths. 900,000 were undergoing treatment in 1971. Now, you'd think because of the advancement and our technology, and being smarter people, knowing a little bit more as we've got the doctor's coats and people looking all over things. Frankly, I know when I go to a hospital and see somebody in a hospital and they have like a lunch or a dinner, I'm kind of going, these people are not experts in nutrition, that's for sure. I can't believe what they feed people that are sick in the hospitals. Just it's amazing. So you know that that's not going to be the answer there. But there's something that's going wrong in the way that we take care of our bodies sometimes, because now, many years later, 26, is it? 36 years later, we come to 2016, 35 years, and we have 1,685,210 new cancer cases that have been diagnosed. So 1.7 million, I ask myself constantly, where is this stuff coming from? Where is it coming from? 595,690 cancer deaths in the U.S. That's 1,630 people per day. 1,600 people just today, if you look at that stat, dying of cancer. Now, that's just cancer. I'm kind of watching the road signs like you might be. Tennessee fatalities were over last year already. So there's approximately 900 people just in Tennessee. That's just Tennessee. What about all the other states? So I don't know how we keep gaining in population with all these deaths that are taking place. That's just cancer. You know, there's other heart diseases, other things that people are dying of as well. It's sometimes frustrating. Even to go out, I know I've gone to, when I was in sales, I used to go to clinics and hospitals, and I would come back depressed. And my wife would say, why are you so depressed? I said, these hospitals and clinics are filled, files filled. Why is everybody sick? Well, we're such a knowledgeable country that should be doing things better. Why? When I look at the state of even our own church, that we're not doing so well. What's going on? What do we need to take a look at here? First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For therefore you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God gave us a wonderful body. Again, we can see so many different elements of his creation, the way that he designed it, the way that it can self-heal, fix itself, the way that we can get better. In fact, that sickness was designed, and did a study into that. When you get a fever, that's supposed to happen because it flushes the toxins from our body. So it's supposed to take place that way. Do you know, some years ago, this is what I'd like to address today, so maybe I wish I had the Jeopardy tune recorded here. I'd like to ask you, there was a booklet that came out some years ago. I think there was another copy possibly from another church, but it had to do with living a healthy and abundant life. Something on the tune of principles of healthy or abundant living. So I know probably most of you remember that. Let me ask you this. Do the Jeopardy tune silently and see how many of those principles that you can remember. I'm going to give you a little bit. How many principles can you think? Can you write down or think about how many principles of those can you remember? Because if we can't remember these, we are in trouble, aren't we? I'm not saying you're going to get them in order. You'll probably remember them all, but it's a good time maybe in our lives to take a look at what we're doing. I don't want to get any worse off at just becoming 60 years old. It's not fun getting older, that's for sure, because things obviously just don't work the same. I stopped playing basketball probably about 5 years ago because it got to the point where I would step on somebody's foot and turn my foot, and that never happened in hockey to me because I had a boot on. So I never got that. So I started playing. I got worse playing church basketball than I did amateur hockey in my life. Why? I remember I had all the equipment, but it's a hard sport because you're pounding up and down the floor. You're really taking it to your knees and to your ankles and other things. And you can do that for a while because when you're young, you can twist an ankle and come back from it. It seems to heal up quicker. As you get older, it takes more time. And then later on, you start to feel that. You walk and your knee starts to, there's a piece of cartilage that might be out, and you're going to hear that all the time. I seem to always have, I don't know what it is, but it always got me in trouble. Because if I'd come home late at night, Mom and Dad's bedroom was there, and mine was kind of kitty corner. So if I came home at late, I would try to really tippy-toe and sneak, and there were two things that were against me. One was that knee. And it would just, I'd get to the point, it would crack, and my mom would hear it. What are you doing home so late? And it'd make me jump and all that. I'm going, oh, I tried to get in so quietly. It didn't work. No, so back then I had that. Thankfully, that's not getting worse. But, you know, sometimes you start to look at your body and go, man, where'd that come from? I never saw that before. I never felt that before. It starts to slow up, but it behooves us actually to even take better care of it now. We can't give up. So I just like for us to take a look at where are we with this and do we need to make some changes and can we agree that we need to do a little bit better? So if you've thought of some of this, let's look at the first one here. And this one surprises me and I have to take a look. I'm trying to analyze this with you because I need to do better myself. We're trying to do this more as my wife and I talk about it, and that's really good if you've got a spouse or kids that you can kind of hold yourself accountable. How are you doing with this? But the first one is food and fasting. Food and fasting. What we see on labels has become a lot more important to us. You know, what's sad to see sometimes is people will gravitate over to Orion's or a Golden Corral because they've got a lot of food. And it's so disheartening sometimes when you see people that already have too much weight on and they go to their tables and their plates are just, and I go, wow. And then you don't know what kind of food it is, what's in it. Those probably aren't the best places to go to. I'm not going to tell you which restaurants to go to, but I've changed my mindset so many times on restaurants and different things, when you look at the way beef is processed, basically what the frustrating thing is, you could say, well, we probably can't eat anything then. You can, but it's hard. It's just difficult. As far as pure water, we should probably be drinking 6 to 8 glasses more in many cases. The water flushes our system. Sometimes we don't drink enough water. So maybe that one we could put in as a goal. Make sure just to try. We bring water bottles with us now, even as we travel. Try to drink more. One of the worst things that someone could drink is anything that's got high fructose corn syrup. Now, I did a research on that. I don't want to get technical, nor am I going to come to your home and look in cupboards or go, what do you got that for? It's not something that we've had. I know our choice in our life was not to have pop on a regular basis, so we never really had it in our fridge. If you just look and do your own search about high fructose corn syrup, you're going to probably want to avoid it because it's horrible for your body. There's nothing good about it. You know what the only thing is? It tastes good. But you know what else it does? It raises the level of your sweetness to where if you actually take an apple or an orange, it's not going to taste sweet because our taste buds are sensitized. That's the difficulty. So I know years ago I used to drink a lot of coffee. I've backed off on that now. But I used to put a lot of sugar. Well, I was a sugar junkie when I was a kid. Just wherever I could get, my grandparents would even quote, they would say, he says, I want a piece of candy. That's what I, man, if they had candy in their place, they'd try to hide it when I got there. I'd find it all the time. I could sniff that stuff out and I'd eat candy. And that's what I did as a kid. I look back at that and go, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But a lot of sugar. So I started backing off on that. Thankfully, we did have, I think at that time, we had a milkman. And your milk at that time, I don't think wasn't homogenized. I can't remember if they pasteurized it or not. We tried to get as close as we could to eating natural food. I remember some of the arguments, by the way. They would say, well, I can't do raw milk because it's fattening as they're eating their Doritos. That milk is too fattening. You know, our kids were raised on it. I appreciated learning about the concept. Ironically, in a humorous way, I remember when we were at New York and lived in New Jersey, we used to drive an hour to a place called Middletown, New York. And since they couldn't sell it, we donated to their feed. So we never saw the people. We'd go into the milk house, get ours, leave the feed money in the box, and we'd slip away with our nice, good-tasting raw milk. Loved it. And so then we moved to Indiana. Lo and behold, about an hour away in Indiana, there was a place called Middletown, Indiana, that we used to donate to their feed. I never saw the people walk in, get our gallons of milk, and so we'd still drink raw milk. Then we moved to Ohio. Lo and behold, about an hour away, there was a place in Middletown, Ohio. Now, this one was called Melvin's Cow Palace. So he was under the grandfather clause, so he could actually sell to the public. So what I used to get probably about 30 gallons at a time, because once the church people found out that they could get raw milk, I got it for them as well. So, but it wasn't easy. Used to have to drive an hour to get it. But we thought it was pretty nutritious. Sad to say now, why does everybody seem to be allergic to it? Allergic to something that God made to be good. That causes me to question, what in the world is going on here? I haven't found all the answers yet, but I don't think we should stop trying and trying to eat things that are good for us. It seems so many good things now people are allergic to, whether it's breads. I know there's genetic engineering that's taking place. It really is a struggle to try to eat good. That's why we've got to avoid eating bad. Because even when we eat good, it may not be good enough. It's a struggle. As far as fasting goes, that's a way we should be doing this on a regular basis. I'd like to quote a little bit this. This is talking about the health benefits and potential benefits of even intermittent fasting. This is even beyond a spiritual fast. If you wanted to take some time for your body to just flush it with fluids on a regular basis. It says, since the body is unable to get its energy from food during fasting, it dips into glucose that's stored in the liver and muscles. This begins around 8 hours after the last meal is consumed. When the stored glucose has been used up, the body then begins to burn fat as a source of energy, which can result in weight loss. A detox process also occurs because any toxins stored in the body's fat are dissolved and removed from the body, he adds, noting that after a few days of fasting, higher levels of endorphins, the feel-good hormones, are produced in the blood, which can have a positive impact on mental well-being. It's interesting, as we've practiced now fasting throughout the years, I know for a while there, and it still happens on occasion because of what takes place in the body, I find when I fast, there's a time in there, somewhere in there, to where all of a sudden you just drop and you get exhausted. That's this body dipping into the sugar and trying to make the adjustments. If we were all really healthy, we wouldn't experience that drop. You pretty much stay level. So most of the time now, I find for a full fast at the end of it, I'm kind of going, wow, that one kind of pretty quick. That wasn't too bad. At first, when people start to fast, I mean, they think they're going to die. You know, it's like the most horrible experience that people have. I don't think, it's almost like getting tooth pulled for some people. They just don't want to experience that. But understanding, this at least helps to understand that this is doing something good for our bodies. It's taking it through a detox process. It says, when you starve, the system tries to save energy, and one of the things it can do to save energy is to recycle a lot of the immune cells that are not needed, especially those that might be damaged. That's interesting. In their study published in the journal Cell Stem Cell, the team found that repeated cycles of 2 to 4 days without food over a 6-month period destroyed the old and damaged immune cells in mice and generated new ones. What is more, the team found that cancer patients who fasted for 3 days prior to chemo were protected against immune system damage that can be caused by the treatment, which they attributed to immune cell generation. The good news is the body got rid of the parts of the system that might be damaged or old, the inefficient parts, during the fasting. With the potential health benefits of fasting widely hailed by nutritionists worldwide, it's no wonder many of us are putting our love of food to one side in order to give it a try. Now, again, there's some I've known that have gone through the fasting that has to do, I think it was lemon juice and maple syrup and cayenne, something like that. I found that was positive at times, but there was someone I remember reading and doing research that did this for about 60 days. And there were different levels after so many days that they would feel so sick. And then all of a sudden, the feel-good system, because what's happening is during that feel sick, the body's actually rejecting all the bad stuff. It doesn't feel good when you get rid of that kind of thing. And so there would be cycles and patterns where all of a sudden you felt good, the fast kept up, and all of a sudden the body's digging deeper into the fat, and it's getting rid of all the junk that's there. There's something special that God designed with a fast. So it really behooves us more to try to do it on a more regular basis. Even if it's not just removing the food and water, if you just do a water fast on occasion and kind of intermittent do that, it's only going to benefit our bodies there. So food and fasting is incredibly important. Read the labels. Watch what you're taking in. Don't think that it's not going to make an impact. It's hard enough now, you know, to go after things that might be brown. I just researched some of the brown rice. Hey, brown rice is great. No, it's not. There's arsenic in some of this stuff. So you've got to watch where you get it. It's hard and it's difficult. We can't stop trying. My people, it says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I wish there would be something that we could share with each other so we wouldn't be pressured. I'm not going to be calling you or following up on you. It's something that we've got to come to the conclusion, each and every one of us, to say, I need to make a change here. I need to change what I'm doing here. And if you can just do small things at a time that builds over time, you're going to find it very helpful. You know, believe it or not, the second one here is actually cleanliness and dress. Cleanliness and dress. It's interesting, we're in a society now where showers are readily available. It's not really that difficult. I enjoy a good hot shower. you know, rinsing off, and that's very good for us. And then the dress, the way that we dress, the way that we look, we keep our clothes clean. I was thankful to be taught that growing up. Well, if I got a cut and I was around Grandma, oh, look out, the methylate's coming out. And that stuff would sting, but she was so clean, always cleaning things, really hot water when she washed dishes and things such as that. So I grew up around that. Wednesday was a great day for me because that was bed changing day. Mom would change the beds, wash the sheets, and so there was a cleanliness that was there, and that always should be there for God's people. God is one of decency and doing things in order. Sometimes, even in the way that we might, I feel bad for the women here. I'm not looking at your shoes right now, but it's so sad. I wonder, how do they do this when you get these 2-inch heels that have got like a center point of less than a dime to stand on? I go, you're kidding me. Somebody sold some snake oil out there, didn't they? And then you do some research and find out that those high heels are really bad for your back. But it's supposed to make the leg look slender or something like that. God left that one out of the physical realm, didn't he? Totally forgot about lifting that up a little bit. So the women have to suffer sometimes when they put these really high heels on when it's only hurting your back. You know, by the way, the guy thing came through for a while there. I think it was back in the mid to late 70s. The guy's high heels. They called them platforms. I never went for the platforms, but I did go for the high heel one time until it fell off of me and I fell down my friend's basement steps. That's the last time I wore heels. I said, this is so stupid. I'm not wearing those anymore. Those were the days, remember, of the big bell bottoms and things of that nature, the disco days. So they'll probably try to bring it back in again. So it just doesn't make sense. Also found out about guys' wallets. A lot of people put their wallet in their back, and then you sit on that. If you do some research, that's not good for your back either. So I decided I'm just going to put my wallet in my front pocket. I don't have to sit, because I'm not doing a purse. That's not happening. So we've got to do some kind of adjustments here. And I feel sorry for the women's purses, because it seems like the bigger it gets, the more you've got to put stuff in there and then try to search for it. Try to find it. So sometimes you just go, wow, what if we, God's probably looking now, what have they become? What's going on here? But cleanliness and dress, obviously, is very important. You go back to Old Testament times. You know, God talks about robes being washed. There were washings that had to be done before you came into a camp of over 1 million people because things would spread. There were laws of quarantine, hygiene, and good health. Point three. Sunshine and fresh air. Nothing like it. Hard sometimes if you're going to get 90 degrees out there like it is today, but maybe a good morning walk, maybe a good evening walk. To actually, when you think about it, this seems like so simple. How many of us really do this? We get out and go, what a new day. No, we're going, I got to get going. I've got to rush. I've got to hurry. Got to get there. Got to get over there. How many times do we just stop or go for a walk? Take a brisk walk or an easy one, but just to clear our minds, to take in a breath of fresh air, as long as you're not seeing those chemtrails above there, I guess. You know, you do the best that you can. I know my grandfather was retired to Escanaba, Michigan. In the 60s, that was known as having the cleanest air in the country up there. And he lived on the Ford River. You could drink right out of that river. Everything was so clean. Grandpa lived to 98 years old. The only thing that went on him was his ears from the chainsaw because he cut wood. So Grandpa was one of those. He had it all. There it was. He'd get up in the morning. He'd have his breakfast. He'd go out to the woods. And so he cut wood. Then he'd come back in time to listen to Paul Harvey, and he'd have one beer. And then they'd have their big meal. About 1 o'clock would be the big meal. And then Grandpa would give Grandma 3 kisses, and he'd go take his nap. And they'd get up. And he'd go back out to the woods again and do more work. And then he'd come in time to have the light meal and then watch Walter Cronkite and then put on his suit. It was his pajamas. And then he'd go to bed. And I remember watching that and going, I don't want to ever get caught up where I'm doing the same thing all the time. Paul Harvey, a beer, the big dinner, duh, duh. And now I'm going, I would love to do that. I would love to have that pattern in my life. You know, what a wonderful way to, Grandpa was so low stress. He got his exercise. You know, the well that was dug over at their place was very clean water, and it proved beneficial to him. Now, maybe he had the genes. Sometimes it's genetics, too. So, but again, it behooves us to take care of ourselves. Obviously, the research shows that vitamin D is given freely from sunshine. Now, you can get those that don't get enough, that don't even go in the sun, or you can go out there and get the sun worshipers that want to turn their skin from a white to a dark. And so they get way too much, and that's not good either. There's a balance of all this that's good for us. The fourth one is exercise. Exercise. What are we doing for that? There's something out there. There's something out there. We've got something that we can share. There's a workout program, believe it or not, that gives you a good workout, and you only have to do it 15, is it 15 or is it 15 minutes? 15 minutes every other day. You can start with something. If you can't do 15 minutes every other day, then we've got to change something around in our life. We've got to be able to get the exercise that we need. Again, I know it's a challenge. We're challenged with it too because of the time constraints. But there's something that God made within our bodies for it to get some kind of exercise. Aids in the expelling of poisons from the system. Anything we can do, some kind, any kind of exercise. Push-ups or sit-ups. I remember in elementary school, every day, we would do what they call calisthenics. That was part of our gym program. We actually had that. I don't know if they've got that anymore. I don't think they have that in public schools anymore, the gym programs. I think everybody just throws that out the door and that's it. But every day we would do some kind of calisthenic. The fifth point is sleep and rest. Now, that can be a tough one. See, if we're already not feeling good, the cycle kind of goes against it, doesn't it? I remember when I used to sleep soundly, 8 hours, that's before I had kids. You know, then that changes with life and stresses and everything else. Then we've got to maybe pray about it. Maybe it's one of those where we have struggles being able to go to sleep and get really a good sleep in there. There's nothing like it. I love it when I have some kind of dream because then I know I went into a REM, you know, that deep sleep that you get, that ones that you fall off a cliff and you're just floating down. I have ones where I just would kind of jump and I'd be able to go way up in the air. And I love that dream. That comes back once in a while. To be able to do that in the future, we're going to be able to do that, by the way. That's kind of pretty neat. To be able to stay up there wherever you want, just kind of go around. Pretty neat to get a nice, good, deep rest to where you're getting rid of that stress. It's easy to write down. It's not always easy to do. There are studies that show that watching TV programs before you go to sleep is not good. Now, again, that's a research that's out there. So that might be plaguing us from time to time. Or going to bed just after, instead of clearing things out, we go to bed still with things on our mind that are going to prevent that. Maybe a prayer before we go to that. Maybe going out and taking a little stretch and breathing in and winding down a little bit before we go to bed. Maybe that'll help too. That's a necessity. Sleep is a necessity. Some people go, I can sleep on 4 hours. Well, how you doing? You know, how are people doing with their health when they're on 4 hours? Yeah, the body can do less, you know, and less, more on less rest as it gets older, but a good sleep is still needed. The sixth, this seems to be, I don't know anyone that really intentionally does this, but it says avoid bodily injury. Avoid bodily injury. That was a good one. I like to choose that one in my life. What happens is, especially for men, we are risk takers. We take more risks probably than the women who tend to be a little bit more cautious. And so we get things that happen to us. Things that I look at maybe as you get a little bit older. I was wondering even this past year as I was watching my son play on a basketball court. Number one, I knew he hadn't done it for a long time. And he was out there pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and going really hard and really hard. And he paid the price. It was too much for his system. And so there are things, again, that we can do sometimes. That's why I said choosing that. I'd like to play basketball, really would. but I don't want to get that type of injury. The trade-off became not worth it for me anymore. So I've got to find my exercise in other ways, like maybe running after balls on a golf course or something like that. Something that's different. You know, they established some kind of game. I've not seen it in a while, though, to where somebody took a couple of clubs and they run 18 holes. I go, that would be great exercise. I don't know how much fun it would be, but it would be great exercise. Something, though, again, to avoid having to take risks. I've got quite a few scars to show up for that. I know some others do out here, too. I remember cutting a rope. This was up at Grandpa's. I had the axe. There was the nylon rope. There was my hand. And believe it or not, I actually chopped at the rope, caught this finger. Thankfully, I didn't take it off. I almost did. You know, I look back at that and I go, wasn't too smart, was it? Or when we're peeling or cutting, we learn that hopefully one time. You know, don't cut toward yourself. You know, and there they are. I mean, they're showing up all over the place here. We take risks, and it causes us, and we end up hurting, and some hurt and suffer, you know, in their older age, feeling a lot of that as well. So we have to do our best to be a lot more careful. 7 point, and the last one here, is the positive mental attitude. Positive mental attitude. It's so important the way that we think. You know, sometimes we get sick, or frankly, have to use a doctor. I was asked to come down to a hospital a couple of years ago when somebody needed a heart valve replaced. Without it, they were told that they couldn't survive. It was already leaking. So they asked me to come down and anoint, and I really appreciated when the doctor came in and everybody was praying for this person. And the doctor comes out and says, I don't know what you're doing, but you're one of the only ones I've known that's healed up this quickly. And he was sat down and talked to everybody about his belief in God. I go, you know, if I ever went to a hospital, if I ever had to have an operation, I would sure want somebody that believed in God, that knew that they're not the ones that heal. You can get the arrogance sometimes, but there's quite a few out there that actually believe that there's a relationship that exists between faith and physical healing. It says recently more than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between, it's called it spirituality and healing. It says doctors' faith was bolstered by a California study of the effect of prayer on recovery from heart problems. About 200 heart patients were assigned to Christians who prayed for them, while an equal number of control group received no known prayers. Neither group knew about the prayers, yet those who received prayer developed half the complications that were experienced by those in the control group. There are those that out there that do believe that God heals, and that you do the best that you can. I think the point is sometimes, because we can go to a couple of scriptures, one of those is, and let's just turn there really quickly, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. There was a problem here in 2 Chronicles 16, 12, as far as the way somebody was looking to something and what they were trusting in. Frankly, I believe that most here probably need a little bit more faith when they actually go to a hospital, because of the things that we know that they can totally mess up. There are so many deaths caused actually by going to hospitals and by the diseases that you can receive there. Also knowing, by the way, and taking advantage of your right to choice, knowing that you can choose. I've gone in sometimes and I've asked people, what are they giving to you? And they'll go, I don't know. I go, what? They're putting fluid in your body and you have no idea what it is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We have to at least be involved in the choice making and finding out what's going on and what can we do about it, going to God and asking for his healing and his wisdom. 2 Chronicles 16:12, Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And it says he slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. You know, though he was a good king, he had problems trusting a God, which caused many problems. From the very beginning of that chapter, you can read of, again, the lack of faith and trust in God. So God provides a way of thinking in order for us to develop a harmonious relationship of faith and obedience, and that the sacrifice of Christ will be a complete sacrifice, one that acknowledges our spiritual healing as well as our physical. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, so this is what we need to do. Do the best that we can in taking care of ourselves, looking over some of these principles and points that are so important within our life. How are we doing with all these? I'm pretty certain that we could all use a little upgrade in all of this. We are not yet the ensigns of health among a nation that's getting sicker and sicker. We seem to be going down sometimes with the ship. So we've got to reevaluate this and take a look at what we can do. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. That's with everything that we do. Sickness is, you know, it's sad to say, a part of this way of life. It's what we go through. It comes to the fact when we get too, most of the time we get too stressed out. We take too many impurities within our body that it just can't handle it anymore. And so we find ourselves shutting down and getting sick. I don't think anybody likes getting sick here. We've got to try to change that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. And then we'll go back to Proverbs, a few more scriptures, to talk about the way that we look and think about things. Because it comes to this point here, we've got to trust God and ask him to show us as well. Do the best work that we can do. In Asheville, we put together a notebook and we find out certain things. I tell the people there, I go, you know, it's up to you if you want to take a look. It's good information. You can check up on it yourself, but I will get an article and others will share in the article. Some of the problems that we have now is finding good food. I go, where can I find this? Or this is so expensive. Or sometimes you go, well, you know, get this organic. And I'm kind of going, even that, it says this, but then you only have a part of that in there, whatever it might, cage-free, range-free eggs. I looked into that, and there's this little cubicle that they're allowed to run in. That's your cage-free eggs. That one got me about this past month. It's because people just lie and distort. So it makes it harder. So it is. It's not easy at all. But I think sometimes I wonder if we can help each other by sometimes sharing information. Hey, by the way, you were talking about that. I found a good place that you can get this at this cost or this price. And then you start building on that. Again, sometimes we backslide. We've got to get back on our feet again and keep trying and not giving up and asking God for the help that we need. Matthew 6, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So take no thought, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, wherewith will we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. Too bad Asa didn't do that. No doubt God would have healed him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Those are the very words of the one known as Yahweh Rapha, the healer of Israel and our healer today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is a toughie. I want to quote this more because we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, where are we with this? Where are we with this? This causes our bodies to go down too when the anxiety is up. So this is what we do. We go to God constantly and await his answers, which he gives. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. It's interesting how food and the mentality is combined together here. 15 verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Chapter 17 verse 22, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this and the attitude. Chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Here's another thing that happens to us. Don't know if we really had a total good week when it comes to if you're going to watch any news. That can start to get to us after a while. All the negativity that's out there. Do you ever watch or listen to something that's happy, that's upbeat, that's uplifting? Seen some things on people that actually watched humorous shows that changed their mentality, and they actually got better because they put humor into their lives. It changed their perspective. It's very difficult to go through life when there's so much negative and negative and negative. And the finger's not even pointed at you or I yet. It's pointed at other people, but you just get so tired of the mentality of people trying to bring other people down. And it's a constant wave of news that we keep getting all the time. We've got to have some cheery hearts. There's a couple good comedians that are out there. You know, some good shows that are still out there. It was so funny watching some of the old shows like The Honeymooners. If some of you remember that, I know that's before some's time, but I remember a little cartoon of a couple astronauts that were on the moon, and they looked at this lifeless body that was laying there. One of the astronauts said, "Look, it's Alice Cramden." That one just got me so much. If you remember, he's the one that said, "Pow, zoom to the moon, Alice." So that's where that one came from. There's a lot of interesting humor that will put smiles on our faces. I think we need more smiles and more happiness. And thank God he gives us the fellowship that we need also with that. In Matthew chapter 11, just a couple other scriptures here before we close. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Here's that connection again. We get too much upon us. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Once again, many times that's repeated within Scripture as far as the necessity for a close relationship with God, that we can have positive, sound minds, especially with the spirit that he gives to us. John chapter 14, let's finish here. John chapter 14 and verse 27. It's hard to combine these sometimes when it says, you know, you're going to have tribulation in this life. There's no doubt about that. But I believe it's the Bible looks at how we handle the tribulation. It's going to be there. Stress is going to be there. Do you remember the days that you were kids? And I think about that, not a care in the world. Just nothing that I had to, wasn't responsible for anything, is just putting my bike back in the garage when I was finished. Just you look back to those days and go, wow, you know, look how the stress relief that was there. Not everybody had childhoods like that. I know that too. But you look at those times when, again, I think that's why we look forward to things such as the feast, when you can just get away for a while. Just let's escape this world for a little bit and enjoy that. Well, God wants us to do that. He wants us to have the peace, knowing that we have to have tribulation in this world. It's the way that we look at it. John 14 here in verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Those are God's promises for us that we can have the soundness of mind. Let me go over this one more time really quickly for those that weren't able to write these down to take a look. How are we, the food and fasting? Probably need to up the fasting, probably need to take a look at what we're taking into our bodies. More pure water when we can. Again, you can do the research. Second one is cleanliness and dress. I think for the most part, God's people are clean and dress appropriately. That's why we have Sabbath services. We understand about those principles that we've been taught for so long. The third is sunshine and fresh air. Thankfully, we seem to live in a very nice area. Though, again, I wondered about that when they sent me there and I saw the Y-12 plant to the north and Alcoa Aluminum to the south and Eastman Chemical Company to the east and the Cumberland River, which is toxified by the coal runoff. There's still nice areas. I believe it was Norris Lake that was claimed to be the number 5 cleanest lake in the country from the last that I saw. We've got a lot of nice areas around here. Some pretty areas to either take walks, go to, where we can empty out, talk to God, meditate. The sunshine and fresh air is very important. Fourth is exercise. Whatever we can do, anything that we can do, stop, walk, stretch, all those things. Stretching is shown to be very good for the muscles as well. Five, sleep and rest. Difficult, again, unless we can work on getting rid of our anxious thoughts and getting peace, the peace that God promised into our minds. I'm not saying any of this is easy. These are all challenges, but we cannot give up. Avoiding bodily injury, not taking the risks, not being careless. And the seventh, again, we seem to indicate and save that for last, that attitude, positive mental attitude, that closeness and connection with God. I hope that we can progressively do better, get better, and feel better. But, you know, we can look in the mirror and go, you know, I need to do that, and then we don't do that. We've all fallen into that trap. Little pieces at a time. Share it with one another. I'll try to do it with you, and you share it with me. We can be encouraged by that. Remember what that was like? You know, any of you ever do it? I remember doing a workout back in Michigan for a while. I was on a regular workout. I had actually, it was opposite. I had to gain 10 pounds. So I was on a regular workout. I did the upper every other day, the lower every other day. Tuesday, Thursday, I did my lower. Sometimes I'd push that bike only 5 minutes. But I know after I was done with that, I had to walk down to the stairs to the locker. I had to hold on to the handrail. But I know I increased in my strength. It made me feel better. It feels really good, by the way, when you look at yourself in the mirror. And just you can just breathe and just relax. And everything just seems to stay up. It doesn't happen so much when you get older, does it? It's a lot more of a challenge. But we can still not forsake it, not going. It's worth something. Anything that we try to do to benefit what God wants us to have, to take care of the temple that he's given to us that houses the Holy Spirit so we can be sharper and brighter and we can help others as well. So I hope that helps to take a little look into our lives to see where we might need to change. You don't need to go out and join a 5 or 10K. And some people will go to extremes. Little pieces at a time for God's people, I think, will do a little bit better. So here's to your health and turning over a new leaf.